This is the no matter what workshop. I'd like to introduce the speaker, Rich M. from A New Way to Live, from the Central West Northern.
Hey, Rich.
Cover an addict named Rich. Just kidding you. Want to make sure it's loud and clear, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, they called me on a couple months ago and asked me, and they had a list of stuff because I don't know. I know the guy, the programming chair, so he's like, I got a list for you. And as soon as he came to no matter what, I said, yeah, I'll take that one. Because I live that. Like, that is the glue of my recovery, is that. I know that when I, you know, don't we all hear it? Don't use no matter what, right? We hear that one all the time. And I know in our basic text and in our how it works, how and why, even in our living clean, those couple words are written quite frequently in our books. So, a bunch of references to no matter what. But my own personal experience with it is I did hear that, don't use no matter what. And that's just like the very core of my belief. That's like an absolute with me, right? But I got other ways that I use no matter what. We also, you know, they also tell us in NA, get a sponsor, right? And I put the words no matter what behind that. I had a sponsor for about 12 years, and I got a text one day, and he said, you might want to get a new sponsor. I'm not coming to NA no more. I was like, what? So I believe myself personally that I won't go a day without a sponsor. Like, I'll go on a mission right away. That's another one of my no matter what's, right? I think each individual has their own no matter what's. Like, we find those here, and we develop those, and we try to live by them. And sponsorship is one for me. I wasn't going to go one day without a sponsor, no matter what, right? But I've also done it in my own personal life, right? Like, I ain't gonna, like, screw, I got an old lady, I ain't gonna be fucking around trying to get some strange, no matter what. Right? I mean, I gotta come up with these things. And I have to. For my own personal recovery, I have to come up with a bunch of them. Like, I got a bunch of them. I do a lot of service work, right? And some people... Like, I was just asking somebody, and somebody said their sponsor told them to take a break. And I can see that. Each individual does what they need to do for their own, like, their own personal lives. Sometimes service can take over, and you're doing more service than you are service in your home and stuff like that. And I can see that. But I don't do that. Like, I just stay in it, right? Because I just believe in being... of service, right? Instead of being in service. Because when I was in service, I can get like that. I could say, man, I need a break. I've held that position. I got to get a new, you know what I mean? I should just sit the fuck down for a minute. You know what I mean? I can come up with that. But there's so much work to do in Narcotics Anonymous. There's, you know, you got home groups. We got areas. We got regions. We got all kind of workshops going on. I have some experience with some of that. So I stay in service no matter what. Like, that's just it. I mean, I'll just stay in service no matter what. And yeah, it gets... Did you guys ever take a service commitment and about 2 months into the commitment, you're like, what the fuck did I just do? This is... I can't do this.
Yeah.
Right? I am one of them type of dudes, and believe me, I've been there. I took an H&I commitment, and I was going to see the youth up in Gateway. This was a long time ago. But I went in there, and they was so unruly, and, you know, they're bad. They're kids, right? I said, God damn it, I can't do this. So I told my sponsor, I was talking to my sponsor. My sponsor said, do you know what the word commitment means? I was like, yeah, I kind of do. But I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about these fucking little kids. Is I can't do this, man. Yeah, I'm an older, you know what I mean? Like, it don't. My sponsor says, do you know what the word commitment is? So what the fuck? You just didn't listen to what I just said. So I learned, I just learned early in my recovery that if I'm going to take a commitment, I see it through no matter what. Because I can come up with a bunch of excuses not to do stuff here at Narcotics Anonymous. I'm too busy. I got a fishing trip planned. I took a service position at the Region, and the Region meets every other month, which means 6 times a year. That's what your commitment is. I said, man, I can do that. That's kind of chill. Every other month, right? So then I find out that the months that the Region meets, one of those months, which is April, I'm a diehard fucking fisherman. Guess when the opening day of fishing season is in Pennsylvania? The second Saturday in April. So I thought about it. You said fucking yes to a commitment where I think the first day of trout season is holy. Like, I got to go. I mean, like, I got to drop everything. So for years, I kept that commitment at the Region, missing the opening day of trout season for a couple years in a row because of my belief in no matter what. That's, you know what I mean? Like, am I going to stand up for something nowadays, or am I going to be easy pushover? You know what I mean? Like, my recovery don't roll like, I can't roll like that because I'll be getting high. I know me, right? I can minimize things and try to skirt the, you know what I mean? And I got to miss this because, I got every excuse under the sun to not do what's really good for me. You guys ever do that? Like, I remember the heart doctor was like, you got to go to the physical therapist and do this. I got Guillain-Barré, so I got paralyzed some years ago. And they said, you got to go to the physical therapist. So I went like strong 4 times in a row, right? My shit was 8 in a row, right? I went strong 4 in a row. The hard part for me was going. Once I was there, I was like doing all this shit, bowing, but getting there was the hard part. I'm like, so I'm 4 deep into it. I got 4 left. I decide I can do some of this shit at home. I know I can. Right? So I started missing. I was telling a dude in a meeting, and this was not really too long ago, maybe a year ago. I was telling him, I said, yeah, there's some bitches that want me to do physical therapy again. I've been in it for a couple years. I'm a little spotty on, like, I'm a little spotty, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I go, sometimes I don't. A lot of that shit, I can do it. And he's looking at me, he says, do you know what the word commitment means? So where the fuck do you guys get this shit from? You all think the same, right? And, but it made a lot of sense to me. He said, well, are you better? And I said, well, I mean, I'm, yeah, no. Nope, I ain't better, but I don't think I can get better. And so he said, well, how do you know that? You're going to quit at 4, right? You still got 4 left. And I said, yeah, but that 4 is going to lead to 6 more. I know the deal. That's my thinking, is like, they just want my money. But I've had some really good physical therapists who were really concerned about, like, they pushed me, right? And every time I went, it was a good thing. I'm going to give this B the a karate chop. So if I do something, don't think that I'm spazzing. I gotta stand. Right? I'm an addict who's got to pay attention. You know, in our literature it says we keep what we have only with vigilance. You know what vigilance means? Keeping a careful eye out for danger. That is exactly what vigilance... Look it up in the dictionary. Right? I know it because my sponsor had me look up so many damn words that I memorized them, right? So if I'm going to keep what I have only with vigilance, shouldn't I have a lot of no matter what's in my life, in recovery? And outside of recovery too, because I do things in the community and I don't do them half-assed. I don't. I do these dinners every once in a while. I raise funds. I do this shit for a church because I have a Christmas program and I love music. So I like to invite these musicians to come in and just do Christmas. It's not really church related, it's at a church. But I can't half-step that. Like, when, you know, I have a spaghetti dinner, I got 80 people coming. I can't quit. I can't say this is too hard. Now, I've been doing those for a lot of years. And that is a matter of no matter what, because I love the ending result of all the work that I put in to have that happen. I love the end result when I can sit there and listen to a bell choir. You guys ever hear bell choir?
Yeah.
Those fucking things are so cool. They're not only are they cool, but shut your eyes when you're listening to them. And it'll put you in another state of mind and peace. You know what I mean? So that's no matter, I got to have those spaghetti dinners no matter what. If I want that function to happen, I got to do those fundraisers. No one else is going to do them, right? I mean, I got help, but we always need a director when we're going to do things, right? Because a bunch of people saying, and I've learned this in my service commitments in NA, a bunch of people saying, I'd love to help you do something. Those are just words. When the shit hits the fan and you open the doors for the volunteers to come in and help, the line is fucking short. It wasn't 6 weeks ago whenever I'm like, who wants to do this? I do. Where the hell you at on the day? Ain't you got no matter what's in your goddamn life? So I keep thinking of that all the time, man. Go to meetings on a regular basis, no matter what. I've been coming to meetings for a few years, and some of them I've been coming to over and over and over and over and over. And I know in our Living Clean, it talks about sometimes we can go to meetings and we get sick of the people and of the sharing and of the same thing. You had me making coffee for 10 years. I'm sick of it. Then I think about, ain't you trying to stay clean no matter what? So I always think of these things. Like, those are just words that I use in my own personal recovery about no matter what. Coming to speak. I remember one time a guy, it was in Columbus, Ohio. You guys ever fucking drove to Columbus, Ohio? It is way over there. They wanted me to come out and do a public relations workshop. And I told myself that if I'm going to be of service, I'm going to be of service no matter what. If you want me to drive to Kentucky to do something for NA, my ass is going to drive to Kentucky to do something for NA. I'm trying to get a day clean, man, you know what I mean? This is really like I'm at war with something that really wants to take me. It loves me so much that it's in here, right? So no matter what, I have to have some fucking weapons for that stuff, right? We keep what we have only with vigilance. I have to keep a careful eye out for what's going on around me. And you know, when I'm with you guys and I'm at these events and I come up, I'm a firm believer in, yeah, you should attend meetings on a regular basis, but you should also attend events on a regular basis. Like, come to our conventions. Come to our cookouts. Come to our dances. Come to the speaker meetings, right? Come to our dinners. Come to our fundraisers. I'm a firm believer in, no matter what, I need to stay so much involved in Narcotics Anonymous. That's why I show up everywhere and do all these things. For I ain't never got sick of it. I have never got sick of it. I have not got sick of it. You know why? Because I always think, you a fucking addict, boy. You better watch what the fuck you're doing. Because you can get high on a... I did that. I had 7 years clean. I was a chair of an area. I had sponsees. I was doing some shit. But I let go of the gas pedal just a little bit. Right? Because I was doing what I read in Living Clean. Sometimes we can get sick of the monotony that goes on over and over and over. So I let up on the gas pedal a little bit. And I was cleaning my kids. My kid was in high school. He was in the 12th grade. I was cleaning his dresser and I found a bag of weed. Right? 7 years clean, found a bag of weed. Doing everything right in NA, but my sponsor wasn't right there. My weed wasn't right there. The only thing that was right there was this and a bag of weed. And I relapsed. I learned a lot from that relapse, right? I learned about vigilance. That's where I learned about vigilance, right? Because I thought about, well, what the fuck happened, man? I mean, you had 7 years, you got sponsees, you're the chair of an area. I mean, you're in service up to your neck. Why didn't I stay clean? Because of no matter what. That's why I loosened up on the gas pedal and I let go of a few no matter what. And I won't make that fucking mistake again. I learned a lesson. So I need to like keep up with the no matter what. I know they say, don't use no matter what. But how about attend your home group no matter what? How about call your fucking sponsor no matter what? How about help newcomers when they come through the door no matter what? I once, this one girl told me, here, this was years ago, she was a new girl. We try to help them, you know what I mean? I try to stay away from the females a little bit and push them off to another female, right? But this is early in my recovery. So I got some intentions that ain't up to par, if you must, right? But the girl says, my drug dealer is looking for me and I got to give him $60. I'm like, I'm gonna help you. I help you with that. I learned another motherfucking lesson, right? No matter what, don't give a newcomer cash. Now the motherfucker comes up and says they're low on groceries. Let's go to Shop and Save, right? I ain't giving you money. I'll go to Shop and Save. No matter what, we help people, right? I would do that again. With that cash thing, I might be a little bit leery, but you know what? What if that story was true? And I said no. What if that story was true and I said no? Because of my thinking. Like, you might fucking take me to the bank. Like a lot of other people did in my using days, right? No matter what, I got to keep pushing forward and helping where I can, right? I got to attend meetings on a regular basis. I got to be of service no matter what. No matter how sick of it I am and all that kind of stuff, it's no matter what. You got to keep pushing forward because I don't want to use again. It's important for me to pay attention to my surroundings. And when I come to events like this, I don't need to pay attention to my surroundings like I do when I'm other places, like at a fucking Black Crowes concert. Yeah, you better pay attention to your surroundings. Or you could be smoking a, what do they call them nowadays? Blunts. I'll be smoking a blunt. Or something else. So, yeah. I'm all about no matter what, man. I try to keep up with that. If I'm going to say that I'm going to do something, maybe I ought to put the words no matter what behind it. Maybe it'll have a little bit more substance. Maybe I'll do it if I put those words. I'm ready to experiment with anything that NA has to offer. Mm. Right? There's always new things coming. I wonder, my sister died. I wonder when I went to the funeral. How do you go to a fucking funeral, Clint? How do you do that? Like, I never had, how do you do that? Like, how do you show emotions and be with the family? Without you, how do you do that? Well, you know what? Stay clean long enough, you're going to find out. Right? And NA will tell you how to do that. And you better have no matter what's with you when you do that. Right? My best friend died. And I'll close this up here. I got about just a couple minutes. I want the next speaker. I've always been taught, just shut it down. When your time is up, just say goodbye and turn it over, right? Because a lot of people, like, they got shit to say. Right? So do I. But I know when to stop. I learned that in recovery. I learned it here. Like, you got a certain amount of time to do your shit, stop when it's that time. So the next person can say what they need to say. Right? Now I forgot what the fuck I was going to say. And that's what it's like. That's what it's like. When you start getting old here in Narcotics Anonymous, you're going to find out you can't walk right. You get up and go to the bathroom a little bit more than what you used to. You can't really, you forget shit. But I don't forget my fucking clean day. Huh? No matter what, I ain't forgetting that.
Right.
I ain't forgetting where NA is. I ain't forgetting how to serve Narcotics Anonymous. I ain't forgetting my Wii. I ain't forgetting how to stay clean. I'm still learning. Oh, my buddy overdosed. That was my best friend. Now I'll let it go after this. This is my best friend. I talked to his mom all the time. Was in school. One of my boys. The ride or die. Using, not using, ride or die. He overdoses. Mom says, you coming to the funeral? I said, you know what, Mom? I can't come. As much as I love you and I love that dude, I can't come. You know why? Because of my belief in no matter what. I try to change people, places, and things. That is places. Like, I go to that son of a bitch, someone's going to be like, Zanny Rich, how you doing? I got some. There I am, right? Probably saying, okay, I'm down. You know what I mean? So I didn't go. My best friend didn't go to the funeral. I couldn't because of no matter what. I got to stay clean no matter what. Thank you guys for coming today. I appreciate it.
Our second speaker is Lana.
Yeah, Lana.
Beachwood area and the tri-state area.
All right.
Try to sit on top of the picnic table thing. My name is Lana. I'm an addict. I really do not care for speaking, so would you guys help me reopen this meeting so I can get myself out of the way? God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom of the difference just for today. It's always an honor and a privilege to show up for Narcotics Anonymous. My clean date is 2/19/15. And I'm thinking at this moment about the spiritual principle of flexibility, because this is not the topic that I was supposed to speak on. Which means, so when they called me like 6 months ago and asked me to speak on 4-7, like I'm in the shower and I'm thinking about my experience with 4-7 and all the stuff that I could say. And then like 15 minutes away from here, they like move the schedule around. And so I'm gonna talk about this instead, which is probably better, right? Because when I think I know what I want to say, like it's for me and it's not my higher power coming through me, right? And I had a sponsor tell me once that, like, if I do this and I help one person in the room, my work here is done. But, like, a bitch gets nervous. This is not something that I like to do. I'm from Pittsburgh, so every time that, like, we're driving out here and I'm looking at cornfields and shit and just feeling a little out of my element, but not really, because I'm at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, right? Mm-hmm. When I think about no matter what, the first thing that I thought about was, well, I can tell you all the terrible shit that's happened to me that I didn't use over, but I don't know how, like, solution-oriented that is. So instead, like, what I'm going to try to talk about is, okay, we know, like, don't use no matter what. To me, that means, like, I have a choice, and, like, what am I going to do instead, right? Because, like, when those life event, like, life on life's terms shows up, right? Just because I got clean does not mean that I am entitled to a life of rainbows and butterflies and no conflict and no friction and I get my way 100% of the time. Mm. Even though that's what I think, right? Like, sometimes I feel like I just want to shake everyone and say, like, don't you know I didn't take anything today? So, like, I deserve to get my way 100% of the time on my terms. And that's not how life works, right? So when I think about, like, having that choice, right? Like, how, what that means for me is, so long as I make my third step decision, right, to turn my will and my life over to the care of, right? And I still, like, to be clear, I am fuzzy on what I'm in the care of, and for me, it doesn't particularly matter. I just know that it's loving, caring, and greater than me, right? And when I make that decision, I am then entitled, like, I am allowed or granted the opportunity to make every other decision. Because I know as soon as I put a chemical in me, that's game. Fight's fixed. And I know that, right? I was thinking about how there have been lots of instances in my life where I encountered something that I didn't know what to deal with. And so, like, what did I do, right? And, like, there were times where I didn't go to meetings and I didn't ask for help about it. And it hurt really bad. Like, it was not the way, right? I made it harder on myself by not doing what I was taught to do around here. And so instead, like, as a result of that, I learned, right? And the thing that I'm thinking about, because I did what most folks do, right? I had, like, 2 months clean, and I was an outpatient, and there was, like, a dude in the corner with a sketchbook and a hemp necklace, and I was like, that one. This Gumby-looking motherfucker. I was like, I can save you. And I needed a new drug. I needed a new higher power. I was freshly clean. I had all these feelings. I didn't know what to do with them, and I got into a relationship, like, really early in recovery, right? And it hurt. And before it hurt, right, what I learned was I didn't know who I was or what I had to offer for in a relationship or what I needed in a relationship. So I ended up in a scenario where he was sick and I was sick and whatever he liked, I liked. And he didn't like going to meetings, so I didn't go to meetings. And he liked this kind of music, so I liked that kind of music, right? Because I just wanted you to see, love, and accept me. Well, spoiler alert, it didn't work out. And at that time, this was like the nuclear, like, painful heartbreak sort of situation, right? The crucible, like, that happened to me, right? I was thinking about victim mentality, right? Because when I first got here, I moved through the world like everything was happening to me, right? Like, you would make the choices I made. You would use how I used if the shit that happened to me happened to you. And, like, the fourth step helped me relinquish that victim mentality, right? I didn't, there are objectively things that occurred that I did not deserve. That is true. However, what I also learned is that I didn't value myself enough to remove myself from situations that I had no business being in. I didn't value myself enough to use my voice and say no, or say no thank you, or say I don't agree with you. Like, I was very used to making myself really small. So that I was a pleasure to be around, right? If I was invisible, it wouldn't be difficult for you to want to spend time with me, right? Like, this codependent, manipulative, I have a friend that says, like, people-pleasing is, like, much too nice a word to describe the behavior pattern, right? Because it's really this, like, manipulative, twisted, sick thing that I did, right? To ensure that, like, I got the outcome that I wanted, which I learned as a result of step work, was to be seen, loved, and accepted. But over, because of that breakup, so post-breakup, I hit the phase where all I wanted to do was talk about it. Like, I wanted to overanalyze every text message and interaction and everything that happened. And I was like that girl who, like, that's all I wanted to talk about. And what I found was the only people that would listen to me were women in meetings. And so I went back to meetings. And we went and we ate pancakes at 10 p.m. And I would rant and bitch and whine and complain. And like, those women loved me anyway. And like, what I learned is that, like, I didn't have to use about it. Right, he could take my dignity, but he couldn't have my clean date. Right, like, no one person is that powerful. I was thinking about, like, the process of, like, finishing school and starting. Like, I got a job in a skyscraper. I wear a blazer. I have a briefcase. Like, this is all very strange, because if they knew who I was, they certainly would not, like, allow me into these institutions to have this job. Right, and thinking about having to, like, navigate that space, and like, the other 23 hours of the day, right? Because I learned how to be responsible, accountable, honest, like, follow through on my commitments in Narcotics Anonymous, specifically in service. And then the other 23 hours of the day, I have to go do that shit. And like, I am so grateful for the opportunity to practice that in here. Like, a conference call or whatever is really nothing compared to running area service or being at region, right? Like, I learned how to balance a checkbook by being the treasurer of my home group. I learned how to, like, take care of my apartment by cleaning the coffee maker at my home group, right? Like, you guys taught me how to live life on life's terms, outside of just not fucking using today. But it's tricky, right? Because I still, when I'm at work, what I have to think about is, like, there are parts of myself that I don't bring forward, and that is a choice that I have today, right? But I also have a choice to, like, I don't have to react, because it's really easy to not show up as the best version of myself, right? Because at the end of the day, like, I am still, like, that idea that we, like, stop maturing emotionally the minute we put a chemical in us, like, I am still a child in a lot of ways, right? And so when I'm in a difficult conversation, I have to speak up for myself. I disagree with somebody. Somebody's late on an assignment. Whatever the fuck. Doesn't matter, right? Like, learning that, like, I can respond instead of react. Like, that was a really powerful idea, right? Because I know, like, I have a choice to use, but I don't have to. And if I don't want to get high today, like, what else can I do to regulate how I am feeling, right? Because what I learned as a result of step work is that the choices that I made, like, the pattern that I have is that, like, I would have a big feeling, I wouldn't know what to do about it, I thought it was going to kill me, and so I would use about it, right? Because I didn't want to feel anything. Like, the goal was oblivion 100% of the time, right? I didn't want to be uncomfortable, I didn't want to be anxious, I didn't want to be depressed, like, whatever, it didn't matter, I didn't want to feel it. And so the role of step work, specifically, like, 4 through 7, right, to figure out, like, why I do what I do, the choices that I make, the idea that I have a choice, the idea that I can choose something differently, and I can wait until it doesn't feel like I have to use, right? Because the reality of the situation is, like, once I had that habit, right, and like Rich talked about it, I have a sponsor, I have a home group, I work steps, I work traditions, I have a service commitment. It's not a region, but I still have one at my home group. And, like, those muscles keep me strong for when life shows up. And, like, I didn't think I was going to talk about this, but the way that life is showing up for me at this moment is, so I'm an only child, right? And, like, my home was dysfunctional growing up. My dad's a type 1 diabetic. He's been that way for 62 years. He's 72. And in July, they took his leg. We, like, maybe knew this was coming, right? Because he had a non-healing wound, and so I had, like, maybe a month to consider what it might look like if my dad had to have an amputation. But, like, not having any siblings and not having a solid relationship with my dad, and having a tense relationship with my mom, like, I didn't know what that would look like. And so, like, I learned a lot about, no matter what, having to care for my aging parents, right? Because, like, the VH1 behind the scenes is that, like, they love each other, but they don't like each other. And, like, I am used to refereeing their fights with each other and, like, putting myself in the middle of those arguments. And the thing that I learned about, like, parent stuff is that it's hard. Like, it's in there from, like, when I was really little, right? And like, did I want to be at the hospital 5 nights a week? No, but I did it anyway. Right? Did I want to call the insurance company and appeal that decision and do all this paperwork and get people on the phone to get them into a rehab hospital? No, but I did it anyway. Right? Did I want to like do emotional labor for my mother to help her understand like what she is experiencing? No, but I did it anyway. Right? Because like what I've learned through this process is that like my parents did the best they could with what they had at the time. And like the reality of the situation is that they were not well equipped. And like for me, I am so blessed and grateful to like come here and learn how to manage all of this like complicated stuff. Right? Like what am I supposed to do when my mom wants to leave my dad because he just got his leg cut off? Like what am I supposed to do when I was completely estranged from him for 10 years? And there was a period of time that like I had to wipe his ass. Like what do I do? Like I wasn't sure. And when I'm not sure, no matter what for me, means like I come here and I talk about it, right? And it might not be at the group level, right? So like this is a little weird. But like my sponsor knew what was up. We knew what was up, right? I'm writing about it, I'm praying about it, like whatever that looks like for me. I don't do like a capital G God type of prayer thing. And I'm still clean, right? And like I work steps with my sponsor in a way where for me prayer is asking for help and meditation is listening for the answer. And I had to do a lot of that because I didn't know how to like work full time and have a marriage and have a house and take care of my parents, right? Like I don't know. But what I have learned is like all of that shitty shit that I got through that I didn't use about in my early recovery and my medium recovery or adolescent recovery, whatever you want to call it, right, shows me that like I don't have to use about this, right? Even though he was on pain meds, or even though like she's making it about her, or even though like I feel like I'm 6 years old and this big, right? And it brings up all of that like unresolved whatever for me, like I don't have to use about it. Instead, like I know that the right thing to do is the next right thing to do. And when the gift of recovery for me is that I am able to identify what the next right thing is. Because when I first got here, like I didn't trust my intuition, right? I was traumatized, I was confused, I first thought wrong, you know, I was making bad choices, my choices got me here. And so like I didn't trust my own discernment. I was not able to identify what the right thing to choose was. So when I think about no matter what in context of I have a choice today, the ability to identify what the next right thing is the biggest gift, right? And like the reality of the situation is most of the time I'm gonna do it even if I don't want to. Because like, did I want to drive 2 hours to come out here and talk to you? Like not particularly, but like I'm gonna do it because it's the right thing to do. Did I want to talk about a topic that wasn't the topic that I, like, in a egotistical, like, a self-obsessed kind of way was, like, planning what I was going to say, and I'm going to talk about some other shit? Did I want to do that? No. But I'm going to do it anyway. Do I want to go to my home group when it's cold and it's raining? Or, you know, like, do I want to answer the phone when it's late at night and my sponsee calls? Like, no. But I'm going to do it anyway. Right? And that's no matter what for me. Because, like, on the days that I can't do this for myself, and those exist still, right? I will do it for you. Because I think about when I was new and I saw women with time, with beautiful, full, rich, wonderful lives, and they would be in meetings and just breathing the same air as them made me feel like I could have that too. So the days that I don't want to fucking come here, I do it anyway. Because I never know when I'm going to be that person for somebody, right? And the worst shit that's ever happened to me, the ugly shit, the four-step shit, the shit I had to get outside help for, the shit I went to the psych ward clean about, like that stuff lost all of its power over me as soon as I met a newcomer who needed me to help them pull them through that too. Like that shared experience, the therapeutic value, being able to explain that I lived through it, I didn't use, my feelings won't kill me, take my hand, like come on. Come with me, it's gonna be okay. Made the worst stuff, like the stuff that used to keep me up at night, not that powerful. That doesn't like diminish that it, like all of the work that I've done to get it right sized, right? But the reality that like all of that stuff, the no matter what stuff, doesn't define who I am, The gift of recovery for me is that, like, being an addict is no longer the most interesting thing about me. Like, I got to figure out who I am the other 23 hours of the day. I'm going to apply principles. I'm going to have a we. I'm going to have a sponsor. My friends are here. My life is here. I have built this into the life that I live. But I have hobbies. I have interests. I have value and worth intrinsically. That is not defined by, like, the obstacles that I had to overcome in addiction or in recovery. And I believe that, which is really the hit of it, right? Because I can think that intellectually, but the path between my head, my heart, and my gut, like, it takes time and it takes experience for, like, that to solidify. Because for me, like, when I first got here, recovery was just an intellectual exercise. The steps were just a homework assignment. Because, like, I was the type of bitch that, like, I was good at school, and if I got a 97, I was pissed off because it wasn't 100. And, like, I thought that I could approach recovery just using my brain. But the reality of the situation is my brain is what got me here in the first place. And I need help, right? And so, like, I was talking about how I am more able to identify the next right thing. I'm not doing that by myself between my ears, right? Like, that is, it's not like Lana sits in a room by herself and thinks about it hard enough until, you know, clarity comes to me, right? Like, I use the tools. And that means that I talk about it, I write about it, I talk to more people about it. I don't just talk to the people that I know are going to give me the answer I want about the thing. I form the kind of relationships with people in here where they're not afraid to tell me the truth. I form the kind of relationships with people in here where I trust their judgment of what I have to say. And not judgment like discernment, not judgment like judgment. I think, like, the gift of recovery is that, like, even if I'm going through this, like, shitty thing with my dad and my mom and whatever, and it's scary and it's hard, right? I know I don't have to use about it. I know it's, like, I am going to be okay. Even if it's not okay, I'm going to be okay. And I know that, like, whatever other life on life's terms type of thing comes down the pike, like, I can get through it because I got through this. And because I got through that nuclear holocaust breakup, and because I got through, like, whatever other terrible thing, right? Because, like, I am not entitled to having a rainbows and butterflies life, but I do get to make choices that contribute to that kind of life, right? Like, the universe will not grant me rainbows and butterflies, but I can, like, the life that I have now is fuller, richer, and better than anything I could have conceived for myself when I first got here and even before I put a drug in me. And, like, for that reason, I know that, like, even though I can't define the God of my misunderstanding, right, there is something, and it is loving, caring, and greater than me, because I see the life that I have now and it being better than something I ever could have articulated that I deserved. And, like, I learned that because you guys loved me exactly who I was, and you helped me figure out who I am. So then I can go be that woman out there. Because, like, I can sit here and I can spit good game or whatever for an hour a day and drink coffee, and it's cool, but then I gotta go home, right? And then I gotta, like, exist in the world and have relationships and not hurt myself, not hurt anyone else, or not take anything. And that's the bottom line for me, no matter what. That's all I have.
Thank you. Okay, we have the reading of We Do Recover. Sure.
We do recover. When the death comes the road, we find we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best as we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proven to soften the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you. We have just for today?
Victor.